Let's open our Bibles tonight to one passage in the New Testament and one in the Old Testament. Galatians chapter 6, that's the New Testament. Galatians chapter 6, and a very familiar passage, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And then Job chapter 4, and we'll read just one verse here. Job chapter 4, and verse number 8. Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. And so I'm going to speak to you for a while tonight on the subject, the law of sowing and reaping, or you could call it the law of the harvest. Now, Father, we come to you ready to preach your word, and we need your help in a special way. I pray that you'll enable me by the power of the Holy Spirit to preach with fervor, unction, and power tonight. If there's anybody with us who doesn't know Christ as their own personal Savior, I pray that you'll draw that person to the Lord Jesus, and I pray that they'll come to him and receive him, and I pray that you'll bless the Word of God to the hearts of your people. Help us now tonight, Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the verse that we read in Job chapter 4, these words were spoken to Job by a man called Eliphaz the Temanite. You see, most of the book of Job is taken up telling us of the conversations between Job and his friends. For example, in the first two chapters, we're told about the, you know, what happened and how Job was brought into all this affliction and trial and so forth. And then you come to chapter 3 and verse 1, after this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. Verse 2, and Job spake and said, and then beginning at verse 3 and continuing through the end of the chapter, it tells us what Job said at this time. Then you come to chapter 4, verse 1, then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, and beginning with chapter 4 and verse 2 and continuing through the end of chapter 5, we're told what Eliphaz said. Thus, the text verse that we read in Job chapter 4 and verse 8 is a part of what Eliphaz said to Job. And the book goes right on like that practically throughout the entire book until you get over in chapter, is it 37 or 36, where it starts telling us what the Lord said. I'll look it up. It is... neither one, huh? Yeah, chapter 38. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, and through verse, through chapter 40 tells you what the Lord said. Basically, it has chapter 41 tells you what the Lord said. In chapter 40, the first couple, few verses there tells you the Job communing with the Lord, but then the Lord has quite a bit more to say and continues on through the end of chapter 41. And so what we read in chapter 4 was a part of what Eliphaz said to Job. Now, as happened so often with Job's friends, what Eliphaz said was true, but he was applying it to the wrong person. In other words, when Eliphaz said, they that sow wickedness reap the same, That is true, and it's taught throughout the pages of the Bible. And in fact, I'll give you tonight many other verses and many examples from the Bible of this truth. So what Eliphaz said is true, but he was misapplying the truth because he was applying this to Job. While his basic fact was true, the conclusion that he drew and the application that he made were faulty. For you see, what he was saying was, since those who sow evil reap evil, and Job is having trouble in his life at this point, that means that he must have been in sin and is thus reaping what he sowed. But ladies and gentlemen, the truth is that Job had not been in sin. For while it is true that sin brings trouble, it's not true that all trouble is a direct result of sin. Job wasn't having trouble because of sin. In fact, just the opposite. Job was having trouble because he was such a godly man that the Lord allowed the devil to bring trouble into Job's life to prove to the devil that Job would be true to God in spite of the trouble. And so then, it is true that sin brings trouble, but you can't just assume that because somebody's having trouble that it automatically means that they've been in sin, because it doesn't. And independent fundamental Baptists especially need to be careful about making this assumption. We had a church member here some time ago, and it was interesting. Anytime somebody had problems, this church member always had the attitude, I wonder what they've been doing. What sin have they been involved in? What's God punishing them for? And the remarkable thing about it, and somewhat comical, was that this church member who had that attitude had more problems than any other 10 church members that I've ever had. And if you're a Christian who has that kind of attitude, you better hope you never have any trouble, because I can assure you that if and when you do, everybody's going to be wondering what sin you've been involved in. You reap what you sow in this area as well as in others. And so then, Eliphaz was misapplying what he said, but what he said was and is a truth that's set forth again and again in the pages of the Bible, and that is, you reap what you sow, you harvest what you plant. So, in other words, there are certain natural results and consequences to what we do. I want to say, by way of introduction, that probably we have heard this applied in a negative sense, that if you sow bad things, you'll reap bad things. But I want to say, by way of introduction, that the opposite is also true. If we sow good things, we reap good things. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Proverbs 11:18, to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. We read Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, which sets forth both the negative and the positive aspects of this law, after telling us in verse 7, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8 then says, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. That's the negative application, but the verse then goes on and says, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's the positive application. You know, Jesus taught this about specific areas. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus said this in verse 37 and 38. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And so then, Jesus made the positive application. If we sow good things, we'll reap good things. anything. If we don't condemn others, we won't be condemned. If we'll be forgiving, we'll be forgiven. If we give, it'll be given unto us. And so then, it is true that the sowing of bad things will result in the reaping of bad things, but it's also true that if we sow good things, we'll reap good things. A Sunday school teacher named Ed Kimball won a 17-year-old man to the Lord Jesus Christ. That young man's name was Dwight L. Moody. 17 years later, Dwight L. Moody led the 17-year-old son of Ed Kimball to Jesus Christ. So you see, Kimball sowed salvation to Moody, and he reaped it in the salvation of his own son. And so we sow good things, we reap good things. Winston Churchill, when he was a boy, was saved from drowning when the son of the gardener jumped in a pool and saved his life. That boy's name was Fleming. He sowed good to Churchill. Churchill's family then sent Fleming through medical school. He reaped good. He sowed some good. He reaped some good. This man developed penicillin, and he saved Churchill's life again when Churchill was the Prime Minister of Britain. And so Churchill reaped for sending Fleming to medical school, didn't he? And then Churchill reaped the benefit of it. So if we sow good things, we reap good things. And I'm going to focus primarily on the negative aspect of it. We sow bad things, we reap bad things. And so the law of the harvest. And I want to give you three facts about sowing and reaping, facts which are stated in the Bible and which are also obvious to anybody who's ever worked on a farm or planted a garden or anything of that nature. The law of the harvest. Fact number one, you reap the same thing that you sow. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, whatsoever a man soweth, that, not something different, but that, the same thing that he sowed, shall he also reap. Now, I grew up in the farming country of West Tennessee. There were two main crops that they had there. One of them was cotton, and the other one wasn't. The other one was soybeans. And now, if a farmer, I learned this, if a farmer plants soybeans in his field, soybeans are going to be what comes up in that field. He's not going to plant soybeans in his field and then go out and reap cotton out of that field. You reap the same thing that you sow. This is the emphasis of what Eliphaz was saying in Job chapter 4 and verse 8 when he said, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same, not something different, but the same. And so then, if a person sows evil seeds, that person will reap an evil harvest. That, dear friend, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you can sow a life without Christ, and you'll reap an eternity without Christ in hell. You reap the same thing that you sow. And so that's the first fact. You reap the same thing that you sow. Now, let me show you a few examples of this. Look back in your Bible to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. Now, Genesis 27 is the chapter that tells about Jacob stealing Esau's blessing, Isaac the father. Esau was his favorite, and so he was wanting to give the blessing to Esau, but actually in chapter 25, when Esau threw his birthright away, he also lost the blessing. When he gave away the birthright, he lost the blessing. He didn't know it at the time, but he found it out here in chapter 27. Now, what happened, you remember in this thing, story of the blessing, Isaac had called his son Esau and told him, go make me some savory meat such as I love, bring it to me so I can eat it, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah, Isaac's wife, Esau and Jacob's mother, heard Isaac give these instructions to Esau. Well, whereas Esau was Isaac's favorite, Jacob was Rebekah's favorite, and so Rebekah wanted Jacob to get the blessing rather than Esau, and therefore she went to Jacob. Esau now had gone hunting, and Rebekah went to Jacob and told him, I heard your father tell Esau to bring some savory meat so he could bless him before he died. So Jacob, do what I'm telling you now. I want you to go to the flock and get me some kids of the goats, and I'll make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth, and thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. Won't be no seeming to him about it. That's what you'll be. And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And so when he heard that, well, mama's going to take the curse for me. Okay. And so he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And notice now in Genesis chapter 27, notice verse 15 and verse 16. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. Now, notice verse 16. And she put the skins of, and notice this, the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And so Jacob deceived his father Isaac with the kid of the goats. Now, 10 chapters later, go to Genesis chapter 37, and when we come into this chapter, Jacob, the one who had deceived his father with the kids of the goats, is now a father himself, and he has 11 sons at this point. And Benjamin had already been born as well, so he had 12 sons. Well, 10 of them, Benjamin was younger, so he wasn't involved in it, but the other 10 were out taking care of the flock and so forth. And so Jacob sends his favorite son, Joseph, out to check on them and so forth. Well, the brothers didn't like Joseph. He sent Joseph. And the other brothers didn't like Joseph a whole lot, other than Benjamin. The other ones understood Joseph is daddy's favorite, and so that automatically put them on the other side as far as Joseph was concerned. And so they saw Joseph coming out there, and they were upset already, and it made them more upset when they saw him with that coat of many colors that his daddy had given him. So they come up with a plan, and the plan that they finally carried out was to sell Joseph into slavery. First, they were going to kill him, and one of them said, well, don't do that. We can sell him. And so they sold him into slavery, is what they did. But then they had to go explain to Daddy what happened to Joseph. So notice in verse 31 what they decided to do. And they took Joseph's coat and killed, what? A kid of the goats. and dipped the coat in the blood, and they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." And he knew it and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces." And so Jacob deceived his father with the kid of the goats. Now 10 chapters later, Jacob, who's now a father, is deceived by his sons with the kid of a goat. And Jacob deceived his father concerning his father's favorite son. Now Jacob's sons deceive him concerning his favorite son. Young people, hear me. One of these days, you'll think you're fondest dream has come true, but you'll find out later that your worst nightmare had come true, and what it will be is that you'll have a kid just like you, and your kid will treat you just like you treat your parents. So Jacob reaped the wicked harvest that he had sown, didn't he? Go over to the book of Judges, chapter 1. Judges, chapter 1, and notice beginning in verse 4. "And Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they slew of them in Bezek 10,000 men. And they found Adonai Bezek in Bezek, and they fought against him, and they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites. But Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued after him, and caught him, and cut off his thumbs and his great toes. And Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table." Now pay close attention to this phrase, "as I have done, so God hath requited me." He reaped what he sowed, didn't he? I mean, he'd cut the thumbs and the great big toes off of 70 kings, and now he gets his thumbs and big toes cut off, and he understands the principle declaring, "As I have done, so hath God requited me." Look over to Judges chapter 18. I'm just giving you illustrations here of how that we reap the same thing that we sow. In Judges chapter 18, we find in verse 7, "Then 5 men departed, came to Laish, and saw the people that were therein, how they dwelt careless after the manner of the Zidonians, quiet and secure, and there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything, and they were far from the Zidonians and had no business with any man." They had no business with any man. Somebody needed help? Well, Laish wasn't going to help. Somebody needed assistance? Well, Laish wasn't going to assist anybody. Somebody needed caring for? Well, the people of Laish were not going to help anybody or care for anybody, because they had no business with any man. Now, later on in the chapter, Laish gets attacked, and they need help. But verse 28 says, "And there was no deliverer, because it was far from Zidon, and they had no business with any man." And so up in verse 7, they had no business with any man. Somebody needed help. They ain't going to help. But now they get attacked, and they need somebody to deliver them. But guess what? Since they had no business with any man, there was therefore no deliverer to come and rescue them. And so we reap the same thing that we sow. Look to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And in this chapter, The Lord sends Saul, who's the king at that time, the first king of Israel, and he's supposed to go down and utterly destroy the Amalekites and all that they have, along with their king Agag and all of their possessions and so forth. But notice now, Saul, of course, he doesn't accomplish what the Lord sent him to do, and he comes back, and Samuel, who had given the word of the Lord to him to go and accomplish this, Samuel comes to receive the report from him, and Saul tells him, "We've done what the Lord commanded." And Samuel said, "Then what's this lowing of the cattle that I hear, and this bleating of the sheep that I hear?" And the people wanted to spare these so we could offer sacrifices to the Lord. I love people always have to get religious about their sin. And notice then what takes place after Samuel had delivered the message to Saul. You lost the throne. It's going to somebody else. And it did, went to David. But verse 32 says, "Then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past." Agag thought, since he wasn't killed over by Saul when that was going on, that he was safe. Now, verse 33, "And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal." Old Agag, he reaped what he sowed. His sword had made other women childless. So Samuel said, "Now I'm going to make your mama childless." And Samuel hewed him to pieces, the Bible says. And so I'm simply saying that we sow evil seeds, we reap an evil harvest. We reap the same thing that we sow. And so that's the first thing. Fact number two, you reap more than you sow. Now, a farmer can only make a living because of this truth. Where I'm from, many times farmers might borrow money from the bank to buy the seed to plant, and then pay the bank back at harvest time. This only works if he reaps more than he sows. If he sowed one sack of corn and only reaped one sack of corn, he couldn't survive. Thus, God established the law of the harvest so that you reap more than you sow. Genesis chapter 26 is the only chapter that's given over totally and completely to Isaac. Now, Isaac is in many other chapters, but this is the only chapter that the whole chapter is about Isaac and nobody else. Genesis 26 and verse 12 says, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold." He reaped more than he sowed. Now, this is true in the natural and physical realm, but it's also true in the spiritual realm. Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7 says of the people of the northern kingdom of Samaria, "For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind," or tornadoes, what a whirlwind is. Now, I point that out because when I was a kid, the little dust devils that you see once in a while, I don't know if you see, I'd never seen one down here, but I had never been out in the field down here either. But you know what I'm talking about when I say a dust devil, the I guess it is a tornado, only on a small, very small scale. But we call that a whirlwind. When the Bible talks about a whirlwind, it's actually talking about a real whirlwind. It's talking about a tornado. And so God said, they decided to turn away from me and do their own thing and throw a band to the wind. Well, I'll see to it that they get a wind that they will never forget. They reaped the whirlwind. They reaped more than they sowed. Now, if you don't know Christ as Savior, my friend, understand you can sow one lifetime of ever how many years you live of rejecting Christ, you'll reap more than you sow. You'll reap an eternity without Christ in hell. Why? Because you reap more than you sow. Look over in your Bible, please, to the book of Esther. Esther and chapter, I'll tell you when I get there. Chapter 5. Notice the last verse, verse 14. Then said Zeresh his wife, this is Haman the Jew-hater's wife, then said Zeresh his wife and all his friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet. Notice, and the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. And so Haman, he built this gallows on which to hang innocent Mordecai. But then you get to the last verse of chapter 7, chapter 7 and verse 10. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. So here we see he got the same thing, reaped the same thing that he sowed. But then look to chapter 9 and notice verse beginning in verse 6. And in Shushan the palace, the Jews slew and destroyed 500 men, and Parshendathan, Dalphon, Aspathan, Parathan, Adalian, Aradathan, Parmashtan, Arisian, Aridia, and Vajizatha, those people, the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of the Jews, slew they, but on the spoil laid they not their hand. And so here we see that Haman not only reaped the same thing that he sowed, he reaped more than he sowed. He was going to hang Mordecai. Well, he didn't. He himself was hung, but then his 10 sons were also killed. You reap more than you sow. And thus, we reap the same thing that we sow. We reap more than we sow. And then fact number 3, you reap after you sow. Those farmers in West Tennessee, they'd plant their crops in March and April, but they didn't reap them in March and April. They reaped them, they harvested them in September and October. You reap after you sow. Proverbs 22 and verse 8, he that soweth, present tense, iniquity, shall reap, future tense, vanity. And so you reap after you sow. You're without Christ, dear friend. You sow a life of Christ rejection now in this present life, but you reap it after you die in the life to come. You reap after you sow. Now I want you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 21, and we'll read a bit of this chapter. 1 Kings chapter 21. And I think I hear a helicopter. Do I hear a helicopter? By the way, I don't know if you knew, Kobe Bryant died in a helicopter crash yesterday. I don't know anything about him except he was a basketball player, but he's dead now. And all that basketball playing don't mean anything now. The only thing that matters now is if he knew Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Now, notice in 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 1, it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee? Now, you can find in, I believe, Numbers chapter 25, Numbers chapter 35. But the Lord had forbidden the people of Israel to sell their land. So Ahab, that's why he said it wouldn't do it. It was the inheritance of his fathers. Well, Ahab, verse 4, came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him, for he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he, Ahab, laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. I mean, here this king is laying down on bed with his face to the wall because he was pouting that he didn't get his way about something here. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I'll give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letter, saying, proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles, who were the inhabitants of his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat down before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city, and stoned him with stones, that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise. Back up in verse 7, Jezebel had said to Ahab, arise. Now, she said to Ahab, arise and take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise. Jezebel told Ahab, arise. Now God tells Elijah, arise. Go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he's in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he's gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And you can read the rest of it. Elijah did what the Lord said, went and told Ahab that the dogs will lick your blood like they licked the blood of Naboth, whom you had murdered. And then look at chapter 22. And notice in verse 37, so the king, Ahab, died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria, and one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor according unto the word of the Lord which he spake. And so now Ahab reaped for the evil that he had sowed. You think? But now, between the time that Elijah told him, one day the dogs will lick your blood like they licked Naboth's blood, between Elijah telling Ahab that and when it actually happened was 3 years. You know, 3 years, that could be a long time to wait for something. R.G. Lee said that during those 3 years that he suspected every time Ahab heard a dog bark, he jumped. But 3 years went by, seemingly nothing happened, but after 3 years it happened just as the Lord had said. Ahab reaped after he sowed, 3 years after. In fact, Elijah also told him, one day the dogs will eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. It took 20 years for that to happen in Jezebel's case, but it happened. She reaped after she sowed. I'm told that the most successful commercial of all time was the commercial with the Marlboro Man. Remember the Marlboro Man? See, when I was a small kid, they still could advertise cigarettes on TV. And the most successful commercial ever was when they got, you know, the cowboy and was on the horse with the hat and the fur-lined coat and all that with a Marlboro sticking out of his mouth. You know what happened to that guy? He died of cancer. It took a while. He reaped after he sowed. Have you ever been read your Miranda rights? No, most of you haven't, probably. And that's a good thing. If you have been read your Miranda rights, you probably ended up in jail. Because the only time they give you those is when they arrest you. The reason they're called the Miranda rights is because it started with a guy named Ernesto Miranda. I was preaching for Brother Wynn one time in Mexico City, and I was telling this story, and when I told who it was, Ernesto Miranda, the whole church broke out in laughter. And I thought, what's the deal? Well, some of you know the fellow that comes here once in a while. Well, now mainly Hector Avila comes. But Ernesto was the guy that used to come up once in a while from Brother Wynn's place. I didn't realize his last name was Miranda. Now, he wasn't this same guy, but he is Ernesto Miranda. And Ernesto Miranda, he had been arrested. I don't even remember what he was arrested for, but in court, and it finally went all the way to the Supreme Court, they ruled the arrest was invalid because they had not given him the reading of his rights. They became known as the Miranda rights. You know, you have the right to remain silent, that thing. And somebody on the radio I was listening to was talking about James Comey, the crook that used to be in charge of the FBI. The thing said, you have the right to remain silent. And James Comey, you might want to use that. Boy, he has run his mouth for the last, 4 years, I guess, and he may find out that somebody's reading him his Miranda rights before it's over with. But anyway, Ernesto Miranda, that his arrest was invalid because they hadn't read him his rights, and so a few years went by. And you know what happened to Ernesto Miranda? He got murdered. And the police came and arrested the fellow that supposedly murdered him, and they were very careful to read this guy his Miranda rights. I think Ernesto reaped what he sowed. He reaped after he sowed. I guess he reaped more than he sowed. He reaped the same thing that he sowed. That's the law of the harvest.
Mentioned that if you put off getting saved, you'll spend an eternity without Christ. If you reject Him, you'll spend an eternity without Him. You'll spend an eternity.